American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Monday, December 8th, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sitrep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you can too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. Where's the live journal? You can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy dot live journal. com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 10 years strong, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, where nobody serves anything, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, where you don't hear natural sounds, and Radio Red Mercury, which is the only radio station on Mercury. And if you wish to be on the very bleeding edge with some of the brightest people in the world, you can show up every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Second Life Pacific, which would be at Node Archer's Grid 1557466. Always easy to remember the last three, so all you have to remember on the other side is LEET for Satan. That's right, the grid coordinates, if you look at it on a piece of paper, actually looks like an LEET 4666. So Archer's LEET for Satan gets you to the Second Life Grid. Always easier to remember the anagrams, right? With tall Texans with long cocks, good for whatever. Oh my god, did I say that? Don't say fire orders on the air. OPSEC. So, Dark Ages news. Let's get into the newscraft right away. Dark Ages. It's that time that shows up where everybody's really stupid and believes nonsense. Romania is going back into the Dark Ages. What? Don't these people realize there's vampires? Oh my god, you know, mind you, you know, if they can actually get some vampires over there, I'd be really happy with that. I like Romanian women. They're beautiful and they have long black hair. Ever since I fell in love with, what was her name now? I can't remember her name. She played the chick in The Matrix. Help me, internet, help me, one of you. She played Persephone. Oh, what the hell is her name? Monica Bellucci? The chick who played Persephone in The Matrix. Anyway, that chick, her first film was actually Bram Stoker's Dracula's, where she played one of Dracula's super hot wives. And if you get the soundtrack and you look inside the soundtrack cover, there's actually a really super hot picture of, like, the three chicks. Because you remember that scene where Keanu Reeves is... gets all like, if you haven't seen the film, there's a fantastic scene where Keanu Reeves gets abducted and he's all like being so horribly tortured by these super awesome blood-sucking vampire babes, and Monica Bellucci is one of them. I'm like, whoa, yeah, that would suck. But anyway, getting back to the Dark Age news, Romania's withdrawal of the theory of evolution from the school curriculum could be evidence of a growing conservative tendency in teaching. How is that conservative in any way? Anyway, evolution has been removed from the school curriculum in a move which, pressure groups argue, distorts children's understanding of how the world came into being. Well, that's an interesting idea. That's like saying that Hitler distorted Germany's understanding of, you know, their hatred of the Jews. You know, I mean, it's not distorting anything. They're lying to the children. Meanwhile, religious studies classes continue to tell Romanian children that God made the world in 7 days. The theory of the origin of species and the evolution of humans is no longer present in compulsory curriculum through a nationwide decision under the previous government in 2006. Before the change, Darwin's theory was taught to pupils aged 18 and 19 years old. This was also in the curriculum during the communist period of the dictator Nicolae Ceausescu, who was quite a guy, because I used to work with a dude one time who was a Romanian guy, and he gave me kind of the lay of the land, according to this Nicolae Ceausescu, and I got to tell you, he didn't seem like a very nice guy. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Information on natural selection, how fish turn into lizards, and more or less summary of the first 4.5 billion years of the world until man walked the earth is now optional. We don't teach the theory of evolution anymore, said one 38-year-old Bucharest-based biology teacher. The Minister of Education, Christian Adamante, argues that biology is taught within the context of evolution. The subject can be found implicitly from middle school to high school. The minister tells the diplomat, do you think the studies about the world where we live, its evolution and genetics, can ignore the evolution theory? This is impossible! I mean, you know for a fact he's actually standing on the desk and he's saying crap like, it's a madhouse! A mad! But Remus Cerna, president of the Solidarity of Freedom of Conscience, is unimpressed by the ministry's position on implicit learning. How can evolutionary theory be implicit, Serena says. The evolution theory is either present in the curriculum or in the textbook studied by everybody, or not present in the curriculum and nobody studies it. Meanwhile, in religious classes, pupils are taught that the world was created in 7 days and God made the plant on the third day, the sun on the fourth. Textbooks claim the first man was Adam, who was made of ground, and Eve, the first woman, was made from her husband's ribs. Which is entirely possible, those of you out there who are married. In the Romanian state, whether it intends or not, offers pupils a unique perspective on the world called a lie. And the religious one, the religious one, which is sort of like a lie with purpose, so it's sort of a plot. Without any critical scientific or philosophical offset, argues Cerna. Biology's been cut from 2 hours to one of teaching per week for the final 2 years in many high schools. So you get 1 hour a week. So assuming you're in school every week, that's what, 52 hours a year of biology? Dude, I wouldn't believe anything you told me in just 52 hours when I was a teenager. Are you kidding me? These guys are 18 and 19. They want to go out, and by this point, I guess they want to get married according to God's grace and bang their brains out. That's what they want to do. But this is what they're doing. This is the direction that we're going. So, what do we do now? Okay, do we declare a war on religion and just say, well, okay, that's fantastic. So we've got, you know, Sharia law and all the Islamo-fascist psycho bullshit floating around in the Middle East. And here we come from Europe. We've got the Eastern European kind of crusader class, which we're trying to build out of ex-Chechnyans and Romanian vampire people. Awesome! Sounds good to me, huh? No, it doesn't sound very good to anybody. It's a ridiculous idea. What we need to do is, instead of making people more stupid, we need to make people more smart. Maybe if we could somehow get education to these people, maybe there's a way we could somehow get these people all the information we have access to. Oh, wait, there is. It's called server. The internet can help these people. And luckily, there's enough Romanian cyber gangs that are roaming around the internet that they might actually stand a chance of keeping, you know, intelligence alive within that nation. So, all you Romanian cyber hacker guys are out there doing your thing, please make sure you teach other people the information you find while you're ripping us all off in phishing scams. So, on to some space combat news. We may actually have our first saber rattling in space, out frickin' standing. On September 27th, the Chinese Shenzhou space capsule came within 45 kilometers of the International Space Station. And two of three crewmen made the first Chinese spacewalk, going outside the spacecraft in their spacesuits. Later, a small 88-pound microsatellite, the BX-1, the BEX-1, was released from Shenzhou. This was supposed to be a science experiment, but the fact that Shenzhou came so close to the International Space Station and then released a smaller, maneuverable via gas jets, BX-1, indicated another satellite destruction drill. What? The BX-1 could have been directed at a nearby station and destroyed it. What? Don't you think that's a little paranoid? I mean, you know, oh, they're coming over, and, you know, oh, they released something. What did they release? They released rocket balls! All over the, you know, okay, no, but seriously. Like, I guess this is a big deal, but anyway. Of course, China denied this, but they were also criticized for bringing Shenzhou so close to the International Space Station, then releasing a smaller satellite, and they subsequently lost control of it. the PX-1. We lost control of it, and it, like, flew around and crashed into your spaceship and exploded. Sort of like every time we launch a missile and it flies around, we lose control of it, and it crashes into your plane and it explodes. Anyway, of course, China denies this, but they were also criticized for bringing Shenzhou so close to the International Space Station, then releasing a smaller satellite that they subsequently lost control of. The 7.8-ton Shenzhou was built along the same lines as earlier Russian Soyuz, with the Chinese extent which the Chinese have extensive technical data on. The Shenzhou is 13% larger than the Soyuz, and naturally more modern design. So far, there have been three unmanned Shenzhou launches, 1999, 2001, and 2002, to test the system. Three manned launches in 2003, Ought-5, and Ought-8 so far. The very first spacewalk was by a Russian, was in March 1965. The first American spacewalk was 3 months later. 4 years later, there was the first spacewalk on solid ground when two Americans landed on the moon. Or did they? Dun, 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 dun. Well, for the record, I think they landed on the moon. I mean, it's pretty, actually, when you think about it, it is such a fantastic tale. It is such an incredible tale. But I think that when, you know, we should be able to get photographs of their footprints and stuff, right? I mean, this is one thing, you know, the moon guys, right? We know that you can see the Earth from the moon. So we can see the flag and stuff. They left the flag there. They left the lunar module there. So we can get inside the telescopes. We can look up at the moon and we can see the stuff that we left there. Because what did we do the first time we visited an orbiting body? We littered. We left our junk there. That's how you can always find the humans. Look for their garbage. In Big British Brother news, I've got some heavy hits coming out of the whole Big British Brother thing going on. The new counterterrorism bill, currently in the Lords, containing an amendment to Section 58 of the Terrorism Act 2000. This amendment will make it an offense punishable by up to 10 years in prison to publish or elicit information about any police constable of a kind likely to be useful to a person committing or preparing an act of terrorism. Of a kind likely to be useful, likely, okay, of a kind of information, it's kind of that information, and that information is likely, meaning it could be, it's probably, we don't know for sure if it is or not, to be useful, meaning that, you know, this could have some use, you know, of a person committing or preparing, which means if you're thinking about it, you know, an act of terrorism, which, you know, I mean, crap. This show, I'm sure, could say that this is a... I'm sure that there's somebody out there who could make a case to say that this show is an act of terrorism. Really. You know, honest to God. I mean, if I'm not, you know, the king thought criminal here puking my guts into the internet, I don't know who is. But this is what they say. Furthermore, Schedule 7 of the bill applies this amendment to internet service providers and web hosting services. This means they will have a legal duty to remove all sites perceived to fall under this offense. It has provisions for use at home and abroad. It is unclear, I think it's pretty clear, but it is unclear what information will be classed as useful to terrorists. Well, that's easy to define. It'll be whatever the hell they say it is. But due to this ambiguous wording, the bill has implications for bloggers, journalists, photographers, activists, my Uncle Heshy, the cat, the plants, you name it, and everybody else who values the freedom of speech. This is a call from FitWatch. For a mass publishing of information on police on the day this bill receives its royal assent. The date will be published as soon as we have it, but it's likely to be the year 2009. That's where this article is from. FitWatch are one of the groups who could be targeted by this new legislation. FitWatch, started 8 months ago by activists, resists and opposes the use of forward intelligence teams, FIT, on demonstrators. FIT are police officers who photograph, follow around, and generally intimidate protesters. They bring, in the words of Jackie Smith, harassment-style policing to protests, which is a very, very interesting thing. You know, I mean, I don't really get it. This whole, like, why are the cops doing this? Now, I understand that it seems like the whole thing is a bunch of bored people, really. You know, like, sometimes protests are a good idea. Sometimes they are. But when you go to protests and you appear in protests en masse, you see, it gives the it's like they want you to show up and they want you to freak out so they can get rules like this passed. You see what I mean? It's kind of like we're playing into their hands. So this is why I don't think it's a really great idea to go to a lot of protests. I've never said that it was. A lot of people give me crap for that. But, I mean, the protests, you're not going to do anything. What are you doing out there? I'm voicing my opinion. Well, groovy, if you wrote it on your blog, seriously, it will have a more lasting value. And you won't wind up getting your ass photographed and thrown into some really scary jail cell somewhere, or wind up with your name on a blacklist somewhere, because the only way you can prevent that is to walk around wearing a balaclava. And as we all know, what do the terrorists, and incidentally the SAS, wear? The balaclavas. So it's the balaclavas? Sounds like a really cool thing, though. So, yeah, this is kind of it's kind of a frightening rule, and it's kind of scary. One of the scarier laws I've seen come out of you know, England, really. The whole British area is getting really crazy. Okay, now, what else could be considered questionable material? People filming and uploading to YouTube footage of police officers acting illegally, right? Bloggers writing about randomly stopped and searched, journalists publishing details of corrupt and racist cops, photographers publishing photographs of police on protest, the list goes on, but we are all under threat. So this is a very interesting idea. Now, everybody here knows that, or if you don't know by now, you probably should, that I really like cops. I think cops are good people. I do. Generally, I believe that cops are good guys. However, even the cops know that there are people on the force who are shell-shocked beyond belief. Okay, a lot of research is being done with this psychologically. Okay, probably psychedelically too, but we did most of that in the 70s with the Phoenix program. But in all seriousness, when you look at like guys like Dave Grossman, even he's, you know, considered to be one of the bastion intellectuals of the tactical movement, and even he has said that the ideas like what they're doing in Europe, where they're psych testing cops every 6 months, make sure they're handling things really well, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. We don't need tougher laws. We need more cops to enforce the laws we already have. Okay? And not only that, we need more cops because we have to be able to rotate police so they do not become directly involved with the environment that they are living in. Yes, a beat cop is a good idea, but beat cops can become corrupted. Okay, so we need to rethink the way we do policing. We need to rethink the way we do policing in a very grand scale, I think. I mean, what do you think of the whole idea? Honestly, you know, I you know, if you've ever had to call a cop, you know, it's you probably are hoping that he shows up with a gun, and it's a good thing to have police. So, you know, I think it's, but let me know. Let me know what you think, you know, newsreel@rantradio.com. But let's talk about some super soldier news. You know, I wouldn't be able to go too far without talking about this Mumbai thing. So this came into it. Officers said drug paraphernalia, including syringes, were recovered from the scene of the attacks, which almost killed 200 people. The heavily built men, which is weird, they've gone up and down with that death toll a bunch of times. The heavily built men who had undergone training at a special marine camp. It's a marine camp? How do you know it's a marine camp? Anyway, it's established by the Lashkar-e-Taiba, L-E-T terrorist group in Pakistan. So that's who it is. It's the Lashkar-e-Taiba, the LET terrorist group in Pakistan. Also had used steroids to build a tougher physique. We found injections containing traces of cocaine and LSD left behind by the terrorists, later found drugs in their blood. So there was also evidence of steroids, which isn't uncommon in terrorists. Wow, did you know that I used to get into fist fights with terrorists all the time? Sweet! Awesome. Anyway, these men were all toned, suggesting they've been doing some heavy training for the attacks. Wow, I wonder how long before the fitness community gets nailed for this. This explains why they managed to battle the commandos for over 50 hours with no food or sleep. Now, the thing is, the commandos that they were fighting against, I mean, you go look at some video footage, these guys are, like, sticking the arms over the barricades, firing weapons, there's not a lot of weapon patrol going on, nobody's got any night vision. I mean, it's a pretty sad state. They're quote-unquote commandos, needed to have a budget spent on them. But anyway, one terrorist used drugs to keep on fighting despite suffering a life-threatening injury. drugs are commonly used in India by workers in jobs where the lack of sleep is demanding, such as truck drivers and security guards. The 10 men who attacked prominent Mumbai landmarks were able to hold off hundreds of India's best-trained special forces by mounting sophisticated ambushes, maintaining a constant steady rate of return fire, and a superior knowledge of the layout of the buildings seized. The gunman captured during the attacks on Mumbai has told police he underwent months of commando-style training in an Islamist militant camp in Pakistan. The training was organized by the LET and conducted by the former member of the Pakistani Army. Holy crap. A police officer close to the interrogation said they underwent training in several phases, which include training in handling of weapons, bomb-making, survival strategies, survival in a marine environment, and even dietary habits, a senior officer said. Well, I'll tell ya. When I build my place inside of Ghana, we won't be doing any of this stuff. You know, absolutely. You know, no WOGs would ever be involved with a plan like that because, well, these guys clearly didn't have an escape strategy. And all WOGs always have escape strategy because we don't kill ourselves. In the brain case, but, you know, interestingly enough, you know, it's interesting how the drugs are becoming so common. Drugs have been part of war for such a long time, it's not even funny anymore how long drugs have been in the game. I mean, it's been used for generations and generations and generations, and now, finally, they're saying, oh, yeah, we're using drugs in combat. And I wonder what Nancy Reagan would say about all this, eh? Whatever happened to just say no? In brain case news, scientists have decoded the short-term supercomputer that sits inside your head. I love the way they express this stuff. The processor that wraps up trajectories, wins, speeds, rebounds, and rough surfaces into a gut feeling that lets you catch a football. This advantage could let a new wave of prosthetics, as well as being another piece of the permanently interesting puzzle that is the brain. Researchers from McGill, MIT, and Caltech focused on the posterior partial cortex, or PPC, the section of the brain responsible for taking all the what is going on data from the senses and planning what your next 1,000 muscles and bones are going to do about it. What's your next 1,000 muscles and bones? Well, I don't have 1,000. Well, do you have 1,000 bones? It's like 500 and something, isn't it? I can't remember how many bones are. Anyway, working with a robot arm-equipped monkey, gotta love science, eh? They discovered that the PPC runs on its own real-time simulation of the future. Of course, you instinctively knew that when you try to catch a ball, but you don't flail at where you see it. You run to where it's going to be. More usefully, they uncovered the nature of two distinct signals from the GUI Future Finder, a goal signal which describes what the brain wants to happen, and a trajectory signal which lays out the path the body must take to get there. This pair of signals is incredibly useful for any robotic limbs or other extras we might want to add to our limited human form, whether they can be replicants for carelessly lost parts or entirely new structures. So, what does this mean? This means that by the law of incremental improvement, within a very short period of time, we are going to have prosthetic bodies that are better at functioning than the human bodies are. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the $6 million man thing is going to be starting to happen very, very soon. And in the far future, of course, that'll be the big thing in the Olympics, is whether or not people are actually people, if they're synthetic, or can you tell them apart? Can you tell them apart? But this is a fantastic thing that we got here. I mean, this is good stuff. This is really great. I'm really happy about this because, you know, I hate seeing people in wheelchairs. I think that it's pretty sweet to think of the notion of technology, the physical manifestation of human will. When I think about that actually making the lame walk, about making, you know, some guy who's like, you know, 14 years old and for the first time he can go out and play baseball. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. You know, just the whole concept. I mean, that's worth it. That's what science is. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about helping people. You know, it's not supposed to be about murdering people. It's supposed to be about, I mean, yeah, there has to be a certain degree of protecting yourself and stuff like that. Even Tesla knew that. But, goddamn. And this whole thing with the brain, though, because this is the big thing, is going to be the brain-man-machine interface. Now, on one hand, we got all the crazy stuff that comes with man-machine interface, brain interfaces, and all that. Their ability to read your mind and all the rest of it. It's kind of a pain in the butt, I understand that. But on the upside, we've got this really cool tech now. So, hey, nothing wrong with that. Provided, of course, the medical mafia doesn't get a hold of it. Twitch. Thanks very much to Jay. Blings us into our next... Doesn't bring us, it blings us, which is a lot like bringing, but it's on a segue with Diamond Wheels, into medical mafia news. Babies with a severe form of epilepsy risk having their diagnosis delayed and their treatment compromised because of a company's patent on a key gene. It is the first evidence of the private intellectual property rights over human DNA that are adversely affecting medical care. Deepak Gill, head of the neurology at the Children's Hospital at Westmead, said he would test at least 50% more infants if the SCN1A gene, which would diagnose the disabling Dravet syndrome, if the hospital could conduct the test in-house. But the rights to the gene are controlled by the Melbourne-based Genetics Technologies, which has already threatened to stop public hospitals testing for breast cancer gene mutations, and the hospital will not risk a similar problem. Specialists are sending blood samples to Scotland, and only babies whose seizure patients closely resemble Dravet syndrome are tested. This means children with slightly different symptoms may be treated for the wrong medicines for months, potentially retarding their development. It is frustrating that we can't get this test done readily, Dr. Gill said. If we can include it as part of a workup, then we could identify it early. At present, the diagnosis is often delayed until the child is 12 or 18 months old. This is the optimum time for treatment with strong drugs that are unsuitable for most babies, but epilepsy, most babies with epilepsy, but are used for infants with Dravet control severe seizures that can damage the brain. Standard childhood epilepsy medications are ineffective with Dravet and may worsen it, Dr. Gill said. So we got this bad condition here, okay, that they can't test for because somebody's got the patent rights on the technique or the gene or whatever. So let me get this straight. My child is going to have seizures and have brain damage because you don't have the license to do the testing. Even though all the equipment's right here and you know how to do it, you're not allowed to because of a corporation which doesn't even exist. It's not a real thing. It's immortal. It's the new god of our times. It doesn't belong to a nation. If we don't believe in a god, it's necessary to invent one, so I give you the gods we make today, the corporation, and clearly, the great and powerful scary god called Genetic Technologies has deemed that certain children must suffer and die because it doesn't make enough money. That's what that means. So that is insane. You know, like, and I would go to jail if I could, you know, if I could treat children with a sickness and a disease and I would break the law doing that, I would go to jail. I would not sit back and allow the law to dictate the death of children who are, like, perfectly healthy otherwise. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, if you have it in your power to save children, why wouldn't you do that? Especially from something as horrible as this. Brain travel... brain damage? I mean, why should anybody? You know, I can't understand it. You know, it's bad with children because, I think specifically with children, it bugs me. Because when you're an adult, you get to make decisions. You know, you make your bed, you lay on it kind of a thing. Right? So you make a decision and whatever. You make a bunch of bad decisions. You wind up screwing your life up. And then bang, you know, you're kind of accountable a little bit. You have to be accountable for your actions when you're an adult. You're a grown up. You knew what you were doing. And if you didn't know what you were doing, you're stupid, which is almost, you know, you're an idiot, right? So, you know, hey, natural selection in action. But children, I mean, these are little things that, you know, I don't particularly like children a lot myself. I mean, you know, I think they're important for the species and all that. Like, I wouldn't eat them or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, that we're supposed to look after these things, right? I mean, you know, even the most basic, you know, brain-dead animal would know that you're not supposed to eat the kids. You know, you're supposed to look after them. And mind you, there are animals that do that. But, you know, you see my point, okay? It's crazy, yet this exact thing, this very thing, where intellectual property is interfering with the testing for diseases in children, is precisely the kind of thing that I was talking about in After Now. That's why I tried to, you know, convey. That's why I do Newsreel. That's why we talk about these things. That's why it's so vitally, vitally important that despite all the crap that we say here, despite all the crap that, you know, comes out of my mouth and I puke it into the internet and everybody has a good time, there's a lot of laughs and a lot of yucks, it's super important that we continue to get information distributed. It's very, very important that you talk to people about the show. It is. Not just this show either. All independent media. But, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else because, you know, whatever. I've got this one. So, yeah, you know what? It's important that you talk about the show. It's important that you approach people and let them know that, you know what? You're a WOG. I'm a WOG. I think you're a WOG. I can't say whether or not you are a WOG, but I'm a WOG. I bet dollars to donuts you're a WOG. You know, you're wearing an entire 5'11 ensemble. Your watch has a compass on it. You know, I mean, give me a break. There's a million things you're doing here. You're looking pretty WOG. You might dig this guy. He's funny and stupid. You know, make you laugh. Might learn a thing or two. Good times. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And if enough people talk to enough people, we can actually make a difference. Because in a world where governments are banning the information to be taught to children about things as basic as evolution. I mean, come on, how many people actually figured it out on their own that there was no Santa Claus? Well, the same amount of people are going to figure it out that, you know what, I'm waiting for this God thing to happen. If you want to damn me, come down here and kick my ass and burn me, that's fine. Get it on. But personally, I think I'm just going to be a good person. I don't want to hate this guy because he's gay. I don't want to hate this guy because you said so. I don't want to hate this guy because he's brown. I don't want to get into a sword fight by some guy with another sword just because he happens to pray to a rock and I happen to pray to a dead guy on a stick. You know what? This is stupid. Let's you and me go drink some Dr. Pepper, listen to some Newsreel, and play some Dungeons & Dragons. Holy crap! It's going to be the end of the world if we were to do something like that. So I'll tell you one thing. The guys who are not going to... The people who are going to bring peace to the Middle East are sure not going to be anybody with guns. It's going to be a bunch of kids with music CDs dancing together, and they're going to talk, and then they'll make friends, and they'll move forwards. We have to get rid of this traditional hatred concept we got on the go, especially regarding things like religion and other mythical problems that exist, like intellectual property. I like getting paid for the art I do. Don't get me wrong. I think the idea of subscribing to National Geographic is a good idea, and that's probably the only way that you could do it. That's probably the only way you could do it, really, ethically, without losing total control of it. You know, honestly. But, like, the idea of patenting medical experimentation or medical treatment, you know, testing and stuff, that's beyond the pale. I'm really sure that violates, you know, some kind of medical oath or something. You know, wow. Now, in bigger British brother news, if you weren't already happy with your life, state officials are being given powers previously reserved for times of war to demand a person's proof of identity at any time. So previously, I covered the story where the cops, you know, they're like, don't take pictures of me, but holy crap, you better have your papers, otherwise you're going to jail. Anybody who refuses the big brother demand could face arrest and possible prison sentence. Bing, bang, boom, you don't got ID, you get tagged, cuffed, in the van you go. The new rules come in legislation unveiled in today's Queen's speech. Now, if I was a cop and I was corrupt, you know what I'd do? I'd take your license and your registration, I'd drop it into a sewer grate, and I would say, you don't have ID! And then I could really rock your night. Especially if you're just pissing me off, and I want to be a dick. You know? Anyway, they are presented as a crackdown on illegal immigration. Illegal immigration. Don't you people live on an island? But lawyers say they could be applied to anybody who has ever been outside the UK, even on a holiday. The civil rights group Liberty, which analyzed the causes for the new immigration and citizenship bill, called an attempt to introduce compulsory ID cards by the back door. The move would effectively take Britain back to the Second World War, where people were stopped and asked to show their papers. Liberty said powers to examine identity documents, previously thought to apply only at ports of entry, will be extended to criminalize anyone in Britain who has ever left the country and fails to produce identity papers upon demand. We believe that the catch-all remit of this power is disproportionate and that it's enacted would not only damage the community relationship but represent a fundamental shift in the relationship between state and those present within the UK. One broadly drafted clause would permit checks of anyone who has ever entered the UK, whether recently or years earlier. Officials who could be police or immigration officers, would be able to stop anyone to establish if they need permission to be here, if they haven't, whether or not they should be canceled. No reason, cause, or suspicion is required, and checks can be carried out in country, not just at the borders. The law would apply to British citizens and foreign nationals, according to Liberty's lawyers. The only people who would be exempt are the tiny minority who have never been abroad on holiday or business. Wow. Doesn't that seem to be kind of excessive to you? Really? I mean, it does seem a little bit crazy. Why would you... Like, things are getting really psycho over there, you know, in the British Isles. I mean, it's really gone off the chain. And I don't know how much longer people are going to take it over there. I mean, they're already kind of okay with everything, but I think that the Brits better start getting ready, because if they keep this bullshit up, man, they're going to get people who are freaking out. They're going to have to deal with, like, a very serious revolution-style thing going on over there, I think. You know, there's a lot of... that's going to be a lot of pissed-off people. You know, especially... what a really ripe time to start stirring up stuff and feelings of separation from Ireland and all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty brutal deal, dude. It's a pretty brutal deal. I don't know how much they're going to take over there. But don't worry, it gets better. In Thought Crime News, thank you very much, Dark Harmonics, for sending this one in. Keep your shoes and belts on. Waiting in long airport security lines to pass through metal detectors may soon be a thing of the past. Wait for this one. Airport security checkpoints may become opportunities for screeners to study passengers' intentions. Security experts say focus is shifting from analyzing the content of carry-ons to analyzing the contents of a passenger's intentions and emotions. We are seeing a needed paradigm shift when it comes to security, says Omar Laviv, CEO of Athena GS3, an Israeli-based security company. This brain fingerprinting technology, which checks for behavioral intent, is much more developed than we think. Apparently, these guys have been working on this stuff for quite some time, and it's kind of a wild idea, I guess. Nowhere is the need for cutting-edge security more acute than in Israel, which faces constant security threats. For this reason, Israel has become a leader in developing security technology. Several Israeli-based technology companies are developing detection systems that pick up signs of emotional strain, psychological red flag that a passenger may intend to commit an act of terror. Speedier and less intrusive than metal detectors, these systems may eventually restore some efficiency to the airplane boarding process. We'll make the trains run on time. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. One firm, WECU, pronounced WECU, WECU, Technologies, employs a combination of infrared technology, remote sensors and images, and flashing of subliminal images such as a photo of Osama bin Laden. Developers say the combination of these technologies can detect a person's reaction to certain stimuli by reading body temperature, heart rate, respiration, signals a terrorist unwittingly emits before he plans to commit an attack. With these technologies, the emphasis is on speed and seamlessness. Ehud Givon, CEO of WECU, envisions a day when passengers can breeze through security checkpoints in 20 to 30 seconds. Yeah, but see, if they're going to use drugs for combat, they're going to use drugs to get through your airport screening. I'm just saying. Although traditional security profiling can discriminate by race and religion, security experts say behavioral profiling is more fair and more effective and less expensive. WECU has received grants from the Transportation Security Administration with the United States Department of Homeland Security, which hopes to implement a system of pinpoint internal threats such as airline employees intending terrorist acts. What would probably be a much better idea would be as if you were to have a loosely knit group of people who acted as, sort of the forward-reaching eyes and ears that was sort of like a citizen watch program. I think that would probably be a much better idea, but especially within a community where, you know, people who work at the airports, if you field those people so they see something weird, they're always on the lookout for it, rather than, you know, brain scanning everybody, which, I mean, it's not like you don't take enough radiation in the planes anyway. You know, every time you take a flight somewhere, it's like getting x-rayed a bunch of times. So, you know, why not just really ramp that up, huh? Why don't we just cook those bastards right in their seats? Well, scan them. You'll be able to take a flight and get a CAT scan all at the same time. Hell, we could start charging for that. You know, I mean, Now, the thing is with this is it's like, okay, lie detectors and all that stuff can be defeated, okay? They're bunk. And the only reason why, you know, more people don't make a big deal about it is because they're becoming more and they're becoming much, much more well-respected, okay? I don't really understand why it is that people seem to think that these, you know, brain scanners in airports are going to make people safer. They're not. They totally not. It might make the illusion that they're safer. It might, I mean, personally, I'd be pretty freaked out if I was walking through a bunch of satellite dishes that are all pointed at my body and there's pictures of Osama bin Laden flashing up on the wall. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit wigged out by that. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. You know, it's a little bit, freaky, man. It's a little bit freaky what the direction they're going with this. I don't know. However, here's a news story you're not going to see on CNN or anywhere else for that matter. A little bit of weed news. Yes, it's true. It's true. I think that this is a resource that people are not. You want to get rid of the economic crisis that we're currently in? Here's a good idea. Legalize weed and tax the shit out of it. Thanks for calling. But let's get into the... Oh, look at that. Wow. Sean saved the Western world. Thanks, Sean. Hey, no problem. No problem. You got a problem, you call me. I'll set that up for you. Okay, now, all we got to do is we're going to need about, just get this message out there to all the kids in the world. And by default, enough of them will be cool enough to subscribe, and I'll be able to get the space program going on. We'll get off world, no worries. Sean Kennedy, at your service. And, but wait, aren't you destroying the youth by making them all smoke drugs? Well, they're going to smoke the drugs anyway, so we may as well make a little bit of money on it. And not only that, in weed news, most addictive drugs inhibit the growth of new brain cells. But injections of a cannabis-like chemical seem to have the opposite effect in mice. According to new research, experts say that the results, if borne out by further studies, could have far-reaching implications for addiction research and the application of marijuana in medicine. Holy crap, you mean pot doesn't fry your brain? Somebody tell Carl Sagan. For several years now, researchers have been interested in how drugs affect the part of the brain known as the hippocampus. This region is unusual in that it can grow new neurons throughout a person's lifetime. Researchers have theorized that these new cells help to improve memory while combating depression and mood disorders. Wow! Many drugs such as heroin, cocaine, and alcohol... inhibit the growth of new cells within the hippocampus. So, thank you very much. Don't drink anymore. While scientists believe they could emotionally destabilize addicts. Understanding how drugs affect the hippocampus may have a critical role in treating addiction. Do you think? Neuropsychologist Xia Zhang! Awesome sauce. You've got the best name ever, neuropsychologist Zhang. And a team of rocket ball researchers based at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon, Canada, which, believe you me, if there is a place in Canada that knows about taking drugs, it's Saskatchewan, or Saskatchewan, as we like to call it. Because believe you fucking me, that place is like being in the construct of the Matrix in the wintertime. I'm not kidding. The one before the guns show up. That is, go rent the Matrix. Okay, think of the construct where it's just a big white playing field, and then make yourself some huge hydropower dam lines running across the horizon to give you a sense of scale, and that's her. Okay, you look in one direction hard enough, you see the back of your own head, man. It's brutal out there, so believe you me, Zazang and her Saskatchewani ninjas know all about what they need to know in order to get high. But anyway, Canada. So these guys at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon, Canada, aimed at defining just how marijuana-like drugs, known collectively as cannabinoids, act on the brain. The researchers injected rats with HU-210, a synthetic drug that is about 100 times as powerful as THC. Holy shit! Which, I guess they can do that because if you're trying to do something 100 times more powerful than cocaine, you kill people, but pot doesn't have, like, a lethal dosage amount. You can pretty much, like, stuff people in a room and make pop smoke grenades. And, you know, you won't kill them because there's no lethal dosage. You might make them puke and they get sick. They could choke on their puke and stuff, but the weed won't kill them. But anyway, so they stone the fuck out of these rats. with this HU210 stuff, which you can pick up at your local 7-Eleven. Look for the guy with the NWA hoodie. Anyway, the high-inducing compound naturally found in marijuana. Then they used a chemical tracer to watch the new cells growing in the hippocampus. Wow. I'd love to have been the scientist. Okay, now get them, you know, they weren't doing any research. You ever party? Have you ever partied with these guys? You know, seriously, you ever party with any of these cats? What do? They take the fucking gerbil, they get the bong hit out, they just blow them into the, and they get the cops, they get it stoned. So what they did is they just took, they get the cops and hamsters, you know. That's what they do. They get them super high. So what I'm thinking is they must have just hooked them up inside of the machine and said, okay, well, let's watch this mouse get high. And then, bang. You know, they watch the brain grow, and they're like, holy shit, zazang, are you writing this down? And she's so fucked up, she doesn't know what's going on. But anyway, interesting story. You definitely want to check this out. Now then, in Big Brother blowback news, I didn't want to hit you with a bunch of hairy shit about Britain without bringing in some good news. Some good news for the guys over there. All right? In Big Brother blowback news. No, not Big Brother blowback. That would be a different website, but you can find that here in Second Life. Leet for Satan! Anyway, is that actually what that breaks down to? Is it Leet for Satan? Because I just noticed it as I was doing the show here. Yeah, it's Leet for Satan. Nice. Well, good thing it's all bullshit, because otherwise we'd go straight to hell. In Big Brother blowback news, that's not any way to assume that, you know, homosexuality and Satanism have anything in common. I'm not going to touch that with a 15-foot cattle prod. Anyway, two British men should not have their DNA and fingerprints retained by police, the European court told the Human Rights has ruled. The man's information was held by South Yorkshire police, although neither was convicted of any offense. Judgment could have major implications on how DNA records are stored in the UK's national database. The judges said keeping the information could not be regarded as necessary in a democratic society. Home Secretary Jackie Smith said she was disappointed by the European Court of Human Rights decision. Yeah, I hate it. Don't you hate it when the European Court of Human Rights makes a decision and you're disappointed by that? That's time to do like a serious gut check on your morality. You know, like, am I a monster? I don't know. Have you ever felt disappointed by a decision made by the Court of Human Rights? Because if you did, chances are you might be. Under the present laws, DNA profiles of everyone arrested for a recordable offense in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland are kept on a database regardless of whether or not they are charged or convicted. But now, that's not going to be the case. The details about 4.5 million people are held, and one in five of those does not have a current criminal record, so there's no reason for your information to be there. Both men were awarded £36,000, 42,000 euros, in costs, less the money already paid in legal aid. The court found that the police's actions were in violation of Article 8, the right to respect for private and family life of the European Convention on Human Rights. It was also said it was struck by the blanket and indiscriminate nature of this power of retention in England and Wales. Holy crap! Well, there may be hope for these places over there. There may be hope. There may be hope. Thank God they've got the European Commission on Human Rights. But, you know, honestly, if ever, you know, a human rights tribunal makes a decision and you feel disappointed by that decision, that's a good time to check, you know, how incredibly insane you are. Because, wow. In robot combat news. Yes. Who doesn't like robot combat, huh? A robot that can be thrown in caves or buildings to eavesdrop on Al-Qaeda could find a new front in military campaign being fought in Afghanistan. What? It can be thrown downstairs in twos or in pairs that runs over Al-Qaeda's dog. It's not Log. It's called the Dragon Runner. God damn. I love the way the Americans name their stuff. Canadians never get cool names like that in their military, man. They just don't. Okay, they don't get cool names. We get names like Operation Icicle Pick, or Operation, you know, like Hockey Puck, or Operation, you know, Snowblower, Leaf Blower, Operation Saskatchewan, you know, Operation Mind Numbing Boredom, Operation Poodle, you know, Operation Poodle Piss, Operation Puddle Lie in the cold for, like, hours, operations, and we never get cool shit like Dragon Runner, Ice Hawk. I mean, you look at the Americans, man, they've got cool badges for everything. If you go to the same outhouse, they give you a medal. You know, these guys get medals for getting out of basic, they get medals for crossing bridges, they get medals for doing anything. You go up to any Yank who's even left the fucking base, he's got a fruit salad on his chest that's, like, you know, huge. And the Canadians, what do they get? You gotta fly halfway around the planet, win 3 or 4 fucking wars, just to get a couple of gongs you can hang on there, that every single asshat in the Seven Straits comes up to you and say, hey, what'd you get those for? Did you kill anybody? You know, not today, chicken shit. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the trials of Dragon Runner, a 9-kilogram, 20-pound throwbot. It's a throwbot. It's not a robot. It's a throwbot. It's a throwbot using rocket balls. It can be carried in a soldier's backpack. Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna walk up to the infantry pathfinders. You know, the guys who are carrying like a couple thousand pounds of kit already, and be like, hey, we're just gonna put this little throwbot on there. It only weighs 20 pounds. They hope to place orders for the new robot as soon as next month. Time outline has learned. Quintic, a British company, which has already produced... Now, here's an interesting thing. You remember those Talon robots? They're the ones that were like... They're basically combat robots, right? How many of those do you think that these guys have sold and milled? How many of those do you think are deployed? You know? Apparently, these guys have put out 2,500 Talon robots for use in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a shitload of robots, man. That's a shitload of robots. And they said the Dragon Runner, designed by Carnegie Mellon University, could be the vital tool in Barack Obama's push to finish the Afghanistan campaign. Yeah, they're going to finish that campaign with, you know, stomper trucks. You know, that's really going to finish it off. Bob Quinn, vice president of Talon Operations in Quintic, told Times Online that Dragon Runner, a prototype of which was first used to clear debris at the site of the World Trade Center. What? Was used to clear debris at the site of the World Trade Center, has been improved and developed with input from soldiers of the field. You know, what? Okay, I don't believe you. Okay, because the World Trade Center, after it fell, they wrapped it up and they sealed it under an ocean of concrete. You can't touch any of the wreckage from the World Trade Center. Nobody's gone near it. Anyway... Afghanistan has an estimated 100 million anti-tank and anti-personnel miles, and there's a real need to get our soldiers out of the minefield and use robots. This is a compelling solution to the difficult terrain of Afghanistan. Every time Dragon Runner takes a hit, it means that one soldier or Marine was kept from harm. Ha! Well, I'm all about using robots. Personally, I think using robots is a fantastic idea because I don't like my friends made of meat having their limbs removed. Hey, Bob, why don't you run over that way until you can jump 40 feet in the air and spread out? Today's daily hack is Swipe. This swipe tool allows you to crack 2D barcodes. Ever notice the barcode on the backside of your license? Ever wonder what that information stores or even why it's there? Use these online applications or a standalone program to put an end to the mystery. It's your data. Why not have a look about it? There's some other links there that get you some good stuff. As well, some Recomedia today. If you thought I was good at it, wait for it. I got a couple of masters for you. Found two links to about 20 minutes of Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Amazing guy. Giant of our times. Really want to check him out. He's being interviewed by George Norrie, who, of course, replaced Art Bell on the Coast to Coast radio program. So I found a great thing, no commercials, and it's a totally, totally awesome clip. You definitely want to check it out. It's, you know, I don't agree with everything that Alex says because, you know, he's a little bit crazy. But the guy does back his stuff up. You got to give him that, and I have nothing but respect for both of them. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the WOGs who are willing to subscribe and show that they care to make sure that you get that information too. Don't thank me, thank the people who subscribe. If you cannot subscribe, please distribute, please, now more than ever distribute, especially in Europe. If you're in Europe over there, please distribute this, hand this out so we can get people out there. Hey, not everybody's gone crazy. Sometimes doing the show, I feel like climbing up on the roof and crying out, hey, still alive. I'm still free over here. You're not alone. I swear to God, it's like I am legend sometimes. But if you can't donate by sending something, please click on, go to my live journal, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. You can click on the left-hand side of this thing there that says subscribe, or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12215C, 56th Street, Delta PC Canada, V4M2M4. But don't go sending us money. Honestly, the best thing to do is to just subscribe. Anyway, that's all I got for you today. And I want to thank the armies of Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to get to me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, of course, you want to check out the Side Trance, because I'm loving on the Side Trance. And I'm going to fade out now with a track from TechCraft, who's a dude who I met here inside of my Leet for Satan secret bunker here at Hunker Downs on Ball Traveler's Land. But anyway, he told me about this, and TechCraft is got a band called Patient Zero, and they have an album called Smoking Kills, which it's a pretty great album, actually. When you listen to it, it makes me think of a lot of underground subterranean. It reminds me of a lot of early... It's kind of got sort of a primal Daft Punk Frontline Assembly sort of feel to it, with like minimalistic Skinny Puppy in some ways. Kind of an interesting, very interesting sound. Very looking forward to seeing what else these guys come out with. Not only this album, I want to know what the next four albums are going to be like. Remember, everyone. Oh, anyway, the album's called Smoking Kills, and the actual track I'm going to play is called Corporation. But remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Yeah. being a corporate whore? Fuck you. Right now is a corporate war to get out of the economic prison.